Today is Wednesday, December 5th, third day of Hanukkah. This is the women's Chumash here. We're up to Bereshit, middle of Perek Yud Zayin. Okay, Rabotai. I think I put on the sheet. Didn't I put some sheets out? Yeah, pass them down. Yeah. Oh, the other, this way. Yeah. Okay. We are up to Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet Vav. Yud Zayin Tet Vav. So, the Brit has been established between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram. And now the Torah reports, Vayomer Elohim El Avraham, Sarai ishtecha lo tikra et shema Sarai. You shall no longer call her Sarai, ki Sara shema, because her name is Shema Sara. Uveirachti ota, and I will bless her. Vegam natati mimena lecha bein. Literally, it means, and I have given to you a son from her. I have, but it refers to the future. I will give you a son from her. Ubeirachtiha, and I will bless her again. V'hayta legoyim, and that child will ultimately multiply into a nation. Malchei amim mimena yihiyu, kings of nations will ultimately emerge from her. Vayipol Avraham al panav, vayitzchak. Avraham fell on his face, fell on the ground, and he was delighted. I'm translating it that way because Rashi and Targum Unculus first translated as not that he was laughing, and this is going to create a little problem for not only for you but for me too. I was going to say in a minute. Just reading the text. Vayomer bilibo, and he said to himself, Haleven me'ashana yivale, is it possible that a 100-year-old should give birth? Ve'im Sarah, and now looking at Sarah, habat tish'im tashana tele, is it possible that she, at 90 years old, will give birth? Okay. Stop right there. That's God's communication to Avram. And we have to see how I read it the way the text reads. And I should not have translated the word Vayitzchak, that he was happy. It means he laughed. That's what it literally means. He laughed. But we'll see how Parshanim translate it and how they are reluctant to translate it in the next Parsha that we will learn, Vayera, when Sarah does the exact same thing. Where the Torah says, uses the exact same word, and for some reason, Chazal interpret Avram's action of Vayitzchak one way, and they interpret Sarah's action totally differently. I can't understand why they do so.
Unculus first says Chadi.
Chadi means to be happy.
Exactly.
That's why I translated it that way.
Yeah, so he
because he is leading the way that you should not interpret the word Vayitzchak means to laugh, right?
So there's something there aside from Russia.
Correct, right, exactly. The word mitzachek doesn't mean to what? It means, right, I understand. But, right. But it means to laugh in a different way.
To laugh.
But yes. Okay, that's very possible. We didn't read that pasuk. That's the one after that. Okay, that's a very good point. It's a very good one. We'll see. The Torah doesn't necessarily agree with this. That it says later that Yitzchak, that Avram called him Yitzchak, not God. Even though it says here that his name was called by the text, it says that God said you should call him Yitzchak. Yes. And it could mean laughter also. You were laughing at the time. But my question is, why Sarah and Avram differently? Sarah should have bought into the name as well. She did. She doesn't call him Tommy. You know, she calls him Yitzchak, recognizing that God wanted him to be called that way. But we'll see. I just read the text. Now let's attack. So take a look, as always, Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Yitzchaki, Rashi first. So Rashi says in Pasuk Tedvav, Lo tikra et shema Sarai, demashma Sarai li velo leacherim. She is my master, but not necessarily master or ruler or guide for others. Ki Sara stam shema. From now on, her name will be called Sara. Shetehe Sara alkol. She will now be master over everybody. And all of the Balei Diktuk say that, how do you get the word master from the word Sara? Because there's another resh that is normally Sirara. Srara means authority. Whenever you want to talk about the authority of a king, the Gemara calls Srara. The Rambam famously uses that expression in a very problematic statement for you, where the Rambam takes a Drashat Chazal, which intended to eliminate one public office from women, namely king versus queen. The Torah states in Vayikra chapter 17, Dvarim chapter 17, Som tasim olecha melech. You are to appoint a king. So the Midrash writes, melech velo malka. You're not permitted to appoint a Jewish queen. However, Rambam writes, this is his own interpretation, that all communal appointments may only be men and not women. The Rambam writes that the person who is the water commissioner for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael has to be a man, not a woman. And no one knows where the Rambam got that extension from. And many recognize that it causes problems for people today who want to, and even in the more traditional world, here was Rabbi Moshe Feinstein decided, I know that the Rambam is normally highly respected, but I can't necessarily ignore all the others, particularly when I find there is a need. There was a Rav who had a very well-known hashgacha, massive hashgacha, and he passed away. And his wife wanted to take over the hashgacha. And Rav Moshe is of the opinion, as it probably is, that a mashkiach of a firm, of a manufacturing place, has an element of swara, has an element of authority, of rule. If the mashkiach is doing his or her job properly, they tell the balabayas, you know what? You can't bring that product in. I am the only one who has the keys to the refrigerator, not you. Particularly if the person who owns the place is not a Sabbath observer. That's standard fare in every restaurant where the Gentile is an owner. He doesn't have a key to his own refrigerator. Because then you can't trust the hashgacha. So Rav Moshe ruled that even though the Rambam says this is a position of authority and a woman cannot handle that position, he ruled that she could become the Rav HaMakshir of that particular institution. Because he knew she needed a parnasa, she was trained, she knew how to do it, and a lot of people, you know, attacked Rav Moshe. What do you mean? The Rambam says, it's a violation of Melech below Malka. But he had broad enough shoulders to say the Tosfos and the Chinuch and the Rush. Everybody disagrees with the Rambam, and he relied on her. So here, the word Sarai, according to many, believe Swara. So that's what Rashi ends with. Shetehe Sara al hakol. The word Sara in Hebrew doesn't mean anything. There is no word in the Hebrew language other than her name as to what the word Sara means. Yes?
Minister of Defense, Minister of Education. Okay. If it's a woman,
Good. Okay. That could very well be. That's correct. But it too comes from the swara. The word sar is abbreviation of somebody who has swara. That's correct. So in the Chumash, they weren't appointing Sarah was not appointed as a minister over anybody. But it's true. That's the basis of it. It's Sarah, Sarah. So that's how Rashi interprets it. Now, everybody points out, the Gemara does as well, that if you were to call Sarah Sarai, you will not violate any biblical commandment, but if you called Avram, you do violate a biblical commandment. Some say a lav and some say an asay. And the way they defend that decision is the way the word that is used, the verb form that is used by Sarah versus Avram. If you just go back a second, to the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, so look at Pasuk Hey, and tell me what is the difference in the verb form, which leads Chazal. Yes.
Velo yikare.
Right. Your name will not be called.
Good.
And here?
And here,
b'tzikra, you will not.
Correct. Precisely.
So one is a passive.
Correct. One is directed only to Avram.
Right.
You, Avram, shall not call your wife Sarai, but rather Sarah. So we all follow, but there is no direct prohibition against you and me calling her Sarai. He's talking to Avram. Lo tikran. You shall not call her in by Avram. It doesn't say lo tikra. I will not. Or lo ekra. It says lo yikare. Your name will not be referred to any longer. And therefore, it is not only vis-a-vis Avram and Sarai, but rather, and the Radak, or someone will say in just a minute, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Sarai, you shall not call your husband Avram anymore. Call him Avraham. Why is the name change of Sarai given to Avram, but the name change of Avram is not necessarily given to Sarai? We'll see it in just a second. But the fact that the Torah uses the expression Lo Yikare indicates that it's not only Avram, everybody, no one is allowed to call him Avram. By Sarai, as you pointed out, it's only that Sarai can't call, Avram can't call. Yeah.
Do you think that could be a consistent logic to the Sar, Sarai issue? Is that, not that I like the explanation, but that Avram would be called by others. I mean, he's in a public position, he's Tikare, is reflexive, he shall be called by others.
Right.
Sarai just be called by him.
Correct.
So it speaks to more private nature. Of
that is correct. Yes.
Which is consistent with the Sarah issue that you were just discussing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Is there also a difference between the Hayah Shimcha Abraham and Sarah Shema? Sounds like the Hayah Shimcha Avraham is much more
broader.
Definitive.
Yes. That's it. End of discussion. Correct. Yes. It's far more emphatic that it's that's applicable to everybody. Yes. Good point.
I think if I remember correctly, with Yeshua, it says, by Prashtam Moshe Abinu Yehoshua. And Yehoshua.
By Yikra Moshe
El
Hoshe Abinu Yehoshua. Yes. No, it is. Because it doesn't say any place that you're not allowed to call him Hoshea any longer. It's precisely that point. You're confirming it. Moshe called him Yehoshua. And in fact, the Torah itself in Parshas Hazinu refers to that person as Hoshea ben Nun. So it's only Moshe called him, but there's no Isur to call anybody Hoshea. There was a prophet called Hoshea. His mother named him Hoshea.
Oh, yeah. Are you saying that? That nobody could be called Avram?
It says you should not call anybody. That is correct. In fact, I know there was a very prominent person in Teaneck many years ago, Avram Roditsky, Zichrono Livracha. And his name was not Avraham. His name was Avram. And people had a little problem. Why did his mother call him Avram? Yeah. As a nickname, you could say Avremele and so on and so forth. But his Hebrew name should have been Avraham. And if I'm not mistaken, when they called him Bnei Sharon for the Torah, they called him Avram. Avram ben whatever his father's name was. People were a little surprised. Because the Isur is, you're not allowed to call him Avram. And the way you make sure of that is you don't call any children by the name of Avram. But there's a whole debate about that. But anyhow, it's a good point. That's Rashi. That is Rashi. Take a look now. Take a look on the right-hand side of the page for a second. The Radak on the bottom of the right-hand side of page number 1. I didn't have to investigate Midrashim today and this because we're going to get stuck on the text for a while. But yeah. So he writes, the Radak says, you're not going to like what he says, but he says it anyhow. Says the Radak, Lo tikra ki ha'ish hu hakore li'ishto bishma. It is the husband who calls his wife by her name. Velo ha'isha li'isha. But a woman, the wife, does not call her husband by his name. Ella derech kavod. The wife refers to the husband in an honorary title. Bilashon adnut karolo, my master. Lo bishmo, not with his name. Ki kol mi shiyesh lo ma'ale, anybody who has any stature al acher on someone else, ein ra'ui la'asher limata mimenu, any person who is below that stature, likra'o bishmo, it's not appropriate to call him by name. Kimo aviv o rabo adana, a rebbe, a parent, or a master. The slave does not call his master by his name. He says, my master. And so too, Radak is suggesting, that's why the name change of Avram did not involve Sarah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Avram, your name is going to be changed. But Sarah, God doesn't speak to Sarah. You can imagine, God would tell Sarah, hey, I'm changing your name. But that's not what it says. It never says that. It says to Avram, I am changing your wife's name. Because it is appropriate for the husband to identify his wife by name. However, Sarah, it's never appropriate for her to call him Avramela. But she has to call him...
Sir.
Exactly. Sir. Exactly. Perfect. And things have changed. I would say things have changed.
Should we take a quick poll to see if that's changed here?
Yeah. I know, but I remember, if you remember the way older grandparents used to talk about their husband, they never says, Ich verreden mit, with Yankala, Ich verreden mit my man. That's the way we referred it. That people did have that sense of reverence.
I was in Mecca many years ago, and it was in Camp Nara, and there was a girl who was much more religious than the average person there. And she got engaged, and she always referred to him as my chassid, never by name.
By name.
And I once asked her, she said, no, it's not respectful.
Yes.
My chassid, never by name.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
I think it's some rebels who call their husbands Rabbi, and Rabbi says da da da, and as opposed to my husband or my
husband. That's good, very well. That's possible. Yes. If you remember, I once spoke about right before a couple of weeks before Yizkor, last year Yom Kippur, that when you say Yizkor, it is for a parent, it is appropriate to simply say, you know, Avi Mori or Imi Morasi, without mentioning their name, even in the context of Yizkor. A lot of people came over to me and said,
well, it's quite a stir.
What? I know. There are authorities who allow it under those circumstances, because you're not talking to them, you're talking about them. But still, it is. I still maintain that. That's the way when I say Yisgar, I never mention my father's name. It's always Avi Mori, and that's it. Or Imi Marasi, and that's it. Because that's the same thing. You know, you never called your Rebbe by his name. You didn't call him Rabbi Rabbi Salvechik. You didn't call him. You said Rebbe. You didn't call him by his name. Even, whether you're talking to him or any even about him. So that's what he says. But here, that included the wife vis-a-vis the husband. But we all remember that type of behavior. Today, it's already changed. Yeah?
So just to follow up on your Rebbe thing, is that why some boys even say they don't even talk to them directly, they talk to them in the third person? 100%.
So
it's from this?
100% from this. You don't even use you. Would you like... Yes. When I spoke to the Rav, I always said, would the Rav like something to eat? 100%. That's going on today at all. In the yeshiva world it is. Not in our circles. Yeah, because they understand. Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
So in other words, it's a sign of the times that's past, but it was very much in the general culture.
Correct. 1,000%. Yes.
Isn't the yud at the end of the word sarai possessing my?
Good. Excellent point. Excellent point. It was, yes, my sarai. My.
She is, belongs to.
To everybody. Correct. 1,000%. 1,000%. That supports Rashi's comment. Till now she was mine. Now she's going to be El Acherim. 100%. No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. So that's point number one that the Radak makes. And then if you look on the right hand side of the page, in the second line, he just illustrates how far Chazal have taken this prohibition, at least in relationship to a Rebbe. And the second line on the left-hand side, V'chein om Rabbi Seinu Zal, Hakorei l'rabo b'shmo, Goreim l'shchina shetistalek me'Yisrael. That you cause the divine presence to be to distance itself from Am Yisrael, based on the fact that you indicated you engaged in a derogatory almost title to your Rebbe. V'chein ha'isha leba'ala, ki adoneha hu. He is her master. Kimosha Amar, as we read in Parshas Bereishis, v'hu yimshol bach. He shall rule over you. Who shall rule over you? It's a little game that I play myself when I look at couples. I said, who's really wearing the pants in that family? So sometimes it's abundantly evident that it's the wife. And sometimes it's the husband. Rarely it's the husband, but sometimes. Sometimes. But that's all. So that's what he means here. That's what he means here. V'huyim shobach. V'chein amra Sarah. And Sarah said the same thing later on. When she is told by the angel that she's going to have a baby, she laughs and says, how can I have a baby? Va'adoni zakein. She doesn't say Avraham zakein. Va'adoni zakein. That's how she refers to Avraham. My master. Not my husband, Ba'ali, but my master. So he's willing to take this. V'lo amra Avraham zakein. So this is an idea which he, Radak, pursues quite frequently. Quite frequently. Now, if you go to the top of the page on the right-hand side, Chizkuni, who normally is very insightful, very close to the pshat, we've seen Chizkuni many times, says something which I am perplexed. Take a look at Chizkuni on Sarai Ki Sarashima. Now, don't look at it yet. If I were to tell you, every kid in the third grade knows this. What happened to the youth of Sarai? It was given to Yoshua. That's what everybody knows. He quotes another Gemara, which says, a Medrash rather, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Yud Shenotal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misarai Nechlak Lishnayim Chetzio LeAvraham VeChetzio LeSarah. Okay, what? Okay, right. The hay and the hay. Good, that's how he says it. Now, what? First of all, okay, it's not a well-known thing. And what's he trying to say? See, when the Medrash tells us that the Yud went to Yehoshua, we understand. The Medrash explains its significance. Why did Moshe, of all things, decide to add a Yud to Yehoshua's name? Because he wanted God's name to be identified with Yehoshua. Yah, Yoshiacha, Me'atzat Miraglim. May God assist you and protect you from the poor counsel that the Miraglim are going to be suggesting. So we understand why the Medrash would say that the Yud from Sarai went to Yehoshua. Because it's serving a purpose. It's serving the purpose of offering divine protection for Yehoshua. That's Moshe's intention. That makes sense. Whether it was the real or not, who cares? It makes sense. But what is this Medrash, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, trying to tell me that Sarai's name was split into two parts, the Yud. So half went to Avram, the hay, and half went to Sarai. What message is it trying to tell us through this? Yes, go suggest something. You're a daughter of a darshan.
It's a partnership.
What?
Partnership.
So exactly. If this is not the Kliyaka or something like that. Or the Orachayim, who likes to just banter. Chizkuni, as I say, is pretty much a Pashtun. So he's looking to somehow tell us something meaningful. So you have to amplify his comment and say, what exactly is he now trying to teach us? That from here on in, the partnership will be more solidified, as if it wasn't solidified up until now. I'm struggling a little to see what the message of this particular midrashic thought would be. Yes?
I think it really is consistent with the text, because here the announcement of Yitzchak's impending birth is the ultimate partnership.
Right.
At this time, it would make perfect sense.
Very nice. Beautiful. Beautiful. Excellent. I like that. Write it up. I like that.
Do it from right here.
Excellent. That's a very good thought. Yeah. Good, because that has it's very much, but yours has a little more salt in it. It will pave the way for understanding that although that Sarah vis-a-vis Ishmael has not bought in to Avram's love for Ishmael, and that Sarah is demanding that this partnership be exclusive, me and you and Yitzchak. There's nobody else involved in this little partnership. So it's going a little above and beyond that they are partners. It's setting the framework for us understanding where the Torah will report next week, where Yishmael is now being driven out of the house, and it bought Vayera HaDavar Me'od Alodot Yishmael Beno. Abraham felt terribly about this. And Sarah toes the line, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow chimes in and agrees with her. But that's a good point. That's how I would take it. It's not only, it's yes, it's the partnership, no doubt, at this time, but there ain't nobody else in this partnership. That's a good point. Yes. Good, you're all becoming great darshanim. It's great. Yes.
Also in Pasuk Tzayin, it says the word v'gam. V'gam v'gam.
Right.
Maybe it also means that's also encouraging the partnership, that you're not the only one who is Abhamon Karim, but Sarah also is getting...
Good, very good. Excellent. Excellent, what an innocent comment of Cheskuni can elicit. Yes, good. That's point number two. Point number three. Take a look at... Hold on a second. So now take a look at... Svarno, in Pasuk the beginning of Tet Zayin, the Torah says, "Uberachti osa." Not only I'm going to change her name, I'm going to bless her. V'gam nasati menach ben. I will also give her a child. So before you look at Sforno, tell me what you think it's bothering him, knowing the usage of the word bracha, particularly in Sefer Bereishis. Correct.
Why would it go again?
Perfect. That's exactly what's going to bother Svarna. The phrase bracha in Sefer Bereishit always means what? Blessed with children. Always. HaKadosh Baruch Vayivarech Sam Elohim Vayomer Prurvu. He said that to Adam and Chava. He said that to Noah. It's always like that. He says that to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. Pray Urve. Always blessed with children. And then, so then it says, v'gam nasati minchal me'en. So therefore, Sforno says, the bracha can't only mean exclusively children. Very good. Let's read it inside. Number one, behei rayon, you're going to get pregnant. Bileida, with children. Ubigidul habein shelo bitza'ah. Wow. Wow. That is a heck of a bracha. To raise a child without any difficulties. That is, what a bracha. That's why it's a miracle. Especially when the gap between the parent and the child will be 100 years, 90 years. That is a heck of a bracha. That's a very interesting point of view. Heipach, continues Sforno, the exact opposite of Kililat Chava, who Chava, when Chava was cursed, Be'amro Be'etzev Teildi Banim, you will give birth with pain. Now that particular pasuk doesn't necessarily mean that's not exactly what's meant with Gidul Banim Shelo Betzar. Be'etzev teildi banim means, you would know better than I, that you're going to experience pain when you have a child. That's what it means. That until that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipated that childbirth would be relatively painless. As a result of her participation in the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it will be painful.
For all women?
For all women. That's the curse for all women. Now, but that's not exactly what Sforno is saying. You have to read it carefully. That's one type of pain. And I think most women, I can only speak for most women, that would buy into the notion, if it's only the pain at childbirth, but not the pain, the struggle of Gidul Banim, they'll go with it, along with it 1,000 times. But he goes one step further. The Amar and Shisara Tahar Tolid Vitigadelit Bana Shelo Bitzar. She will now raise her child. Yitzchak will not give her any trouble whatsoever. And in fact, when we read not only the text, which is hardly says anything, but even the Midrashim, you never find any episode where Yitzchak may have given an ounce of trouble. He was the goody-goody throughout his entire life. And you know, none of the others were like that. Not even Yaakov. Yaakov gave some grief to his parents as well, the way he behaved sometimes. But Yitzchak, in relationship to Avram and Sarah, was a perfect angel. Yes, question? Any? Some? No? Okay. Good. So that's what he says. Yeah. Then the pasuk continues and says, "V'gam nasati mimeno l'chabein." So take a look at Ibn Ezra. I didn't bracket it, but on the left-hand side of the page, pasuk tetzayin. He writes, "Translate the word nasati kimo nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni." Avraham is talking to Evram. He wants to buy Me'arat HaMachpelah. Hasn't given him a nickel yet. And it says, Nosati Kesef HaSadeh. What should it say based on diktuk? Etain kesef hasadeh. I will give in the future. So Ibn Ezra says, v'hinei shnehem alashon avar bimkom asir. That sometimes the Torah uses a past expression when it really indicates the future. Sometimes there is a vav that indicates. That's called the vav hamapeches, the vav ahipoch. It takes a word that is obviously in the past tense, and the fact that it is introduced with the vav means it's the future. But here there is no vav. That's why Ibn Ezra has to make the point. As to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to write it this way, it's again a little puzzling. Why? Okay, it's nice that Ibn Ezra recognized it. We would also recognize, she didn't have a child yet, so can't say Nasati Lechabeng. But why would the Torah write something like this when it means the obvious future, and the word etain is a perfectly good Hebrew. L'chazarcha etain et ha'aretz hazot. Doesn't say l'chazarcha natati et ha'aretz, etain l'cha et ha'aretz. So the Torah knows the word etain. I don't know. You know, that's one of my questions to the Baruch Hashem. Not on the top of my list. Yeah. What?
Berachti
has also avar, isn't it?
And he berachti
otah. Okay. Avarech otah. It's continuing.
I think it's a done deal. I think Hashem is saying...
That's a good point. That's a very interesting point. Take it as a done deal. There's no doubt that this is happening. That's a very sharp point. It's in the past, as if it's a done deal. I like that. Very much so. That's what Sarah said about Hagar.
But it's been implying maybe that she's going to have a child from that.
She hoped that Rashi quoted that medrash that if I give Aram, maybe I will be
correct. So maybe as a fulfillment.
Correct. Excellent. Very good. Everybody's on a roll today. It's good. The donuts. Yes. Hope you had. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe Hashem had. It's in the past because maybe Hashem had planned on all this in the past. He had it in his mind, or he had decided all these things, and now he's basically telling them that this is what I decided in the past.
Very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got his master plan, and things that are up to him. Like later we're going to have an attack of the Ramban on Rashi based on what Avraham will say about Yishmael. Avraham is so concerned about Yishmael, we'll see in the next pasuk, that he has to pray to God that Lu Yichyeh Yishmael. So Rashi's going to interpret it as, we'll see it in a second, that he's asking that Yishmael remain frum, b'yirasecha. And the Ramban asks, you can't ask God to dictate that somebody's going to be frum. What is asking God that he should live? You can ask God. Because he might have been, Ramban says, he was afraid that now that Yitzchak is going to be born, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to eliminate the competition just through the perspective of Sarah. And what's going to happen to Yishmael? He's going to die right now. As soon as Yitzchak's born, Yishmael's going to die. So he's going to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in next pasuk, please let him live. But Rashi says it means let him live and be frum, b'yirasecha. Says the Ramban, that can't happen. But things that God in control of, he could plan this, and it's going to happen. Very good point. Yes, very nice. We'll have a journal of everybody's contributions, you know, and we'll sell it on eBay, you know. Yes. Amazon. What? Right.
That's really, it is a grand plan. In other words, it's got to be.
Yes, it's not only this, it's Haisa Goyim. That's right. Many nations are going to emerge, and kings are going to emerge. Very good. Excellent. Yeah. So take a look at Rashi, Ube Rachti Osa, jumped the gun with Sfarno, Umahi Habracha. Rashi's also bothered of the double expression. Nasati menchana bein uberachti osa. Same question that Vivi asked before. Mahi habracha, says Rashi, shechazra l'na'aruta. It's not that she necessarily just had a baby, but her bodily features return to what? To when she was much younger. And in fact, there is a very famous medrash which Rashi cites in Parshat Vayera. We read this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. After Yitzchak was born, it says, Ya Avram and Sarah made a party. Vayaslo mishte gadol biyom higamel es Yitzchak. So higamel, some interpret it was his bar mitzvah party, first bar mitzvah party of the Torah. And others say higamel means when he was about to be finishing nursing. When he was weaned. That's the more closer accurate. So the pasuk says, Heinika banim Sarah. Heinika banim. Not that Heinika bain. So some say when they had this party, everybody came and they brought their babies, of course, but they forgot to bring their nursemaids. So Sarah said, nothing to write, I'll nurse all of them. So she returned to a stature when she was capable, at least according to the Medrash, of nursing not only one Yitzchak, but many other children. And that's how Rashi says, Uberachtia, that her physical features, certainly in relationship to mothering a child, all returned to her previous status. Yes? Okay, that doesn't say in the text. That is a medrash. That's clear. So this medrash is not in line with that medrash. In fact, everybody is going to ask the question the other way. We read in Parshas Bereishis and Noach, people giving birth way beyond 100. Torah says he was 180 and he gave birth to his first child. Then, Vayolid Banim Ubanos, many years after. So the Ramban will write, apparently the aging system came into being at the time of Avram already, and people aged much more quickly. So if they aged much more quickly, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do as an adjustment? You had to have children a lot earlier. Can't have your first child at 150 if you're going to die at 120. So that's why, so Rashi, the text certainly supports that it was much earlier than Yitzchak, but it is a famous medrash. You heard your father darshan that once? In the drasha? You heard your father use that as a drasha once? Okay. So that's what Rashi says. Shechazra lina'aruta. How do I know, says Rashi? Rashi says, Shine'emar, acharei biloti, after I have already become aged, haitali edna. The word edna, as we'll see when we get to that part, is a very difficult phrase to interpret. So Rashi here is talking about odena, like she was years ago. I am blessed, I'm very old, but what happened? I am going back to my uberachtiha bahanakat shadayim. Blessed her with the capacity to produce milk. And Rashi quotes this medrash right here, not only there. Kishenitzrecha lekach b'yom mishteh shel Yitzchak, when she needed this on the day of the party of Yitzchak, shehayu miranin in aleihem, people were murmuring. Sheheviyu asufi min hashuk v'omrim b'neinu hu. They brought in a little kid from the market. They brought a kid in the market. And they say, oh, we gave birth to this child. Ve'heviya kol achas b'na ima. Everybody came to this party with what? Only their child. U'meinikta lo heviya. Ve'hi heinika et kulam. And she nursed all of them, which convinced everybody, you know, maybe she indeed gave birth to Yitzchak. So Rashi says, she needed that bracha, uveirachti, because of the challenges that would be used against Sarah. Fine. And he writes, Bereishis Rabba Ramzu B'miktsas. I elaborated, if you look in the Medrash, you'll see this, you know, in a shortened, abbreviated version. Yes?
I have a question. Does anyone make a suggestion that Sarah actually had more children by saying Heinika Banim?
No. I have not seen anybody make that in the text. But, from a simple pshat point of view, you're 100% right. Maybe she did have other children, but it is unlikely that, that in that particular case, based on the fact, that would be a significant event to record. And in the very next parsha, she dies. So it would be something, but it, from a pshat point of view, I would not be shocked to find anybody write that. I haven't seen anybody write it, but I wouldn't be so shocked if it would be there. But it's a difficult, it's a very good point. Very good point. You know, to have to look into those people who write and don't never look at a medrash, see if Ibn Ezra says something on that pasuk. It's a very good point. Very good point. Continues the pasuk, and it says, "Ubeichtiyav haitalegoyim malchei amim mimena yiyu." Take a look now at the next pasuk. Vayomer, this is Avram's reaction. Vayomer Avraham. So hold on a second. Now look at page number 2, the Ramban. This is the one I want to focus on a little bit. So someone pointed out that Targum Onkelos, on the word in Pasuk Yitzayin, it says Unifal Avraham al Apohi. Avram fell on his face. It means he didn't trip and hit the ground. It means he prostrated himself and prayed. Vachadi. And he was very, very happy. And then he said, V'amar bilibay. And he said to himself, Halavar me'ashinin yehevelad. Is it possible that at 100 years old will I have a child? Fine, very nice. Now, everybody follows Targum Onkelos. Everybody. Take a look at Rashi in Yudzayin. Vayipol Avraham Yitzchak, Zeh Tirgem Onkelos. I want you to know, Onkelos said, Vachadi. He was happy. Lashon Simcha. Vishel Sarah. But when the Malach told Sarah in Parshas Vayera that she's going to have a child, what does it say? Vatitzchak. Same word. And how did Onkelos translate that? Lashon machuch. Laughter. Ridicule. I'm going to have a child. And it bothers everybody. Why did Onkelos look at Avram as being happy? And even though he will say the same, now what are you going to be forced to reinterpret in light of Onkelos' comment? What are you going to be forced to reinterpret in light of Onkelos' comment? The next part of the phrase, halabei me'ashanim. Is it possible that what somebody who's 100 and my wife is 90 is going to give birth to a child? Why are you saying that if you're happy? That sounds like, what are you? What does what emotion are you expressing in that last phrase? What's the word? Doubt. What do you mean? You're happy about doubt? It makes no sense. So everybody here is going to have to read. Once you are committed to interpreting the word Yitzchak as Chadi, you're going to have to kvetch, like we do in the Gemara. You use the glove finger like this. You got to look like this. And reinterpret the next phrase. That people, I'm just giving you a glance, that people can be happy when they hear about startling things that are going to happen to them. They're happy about, he's not questioning it. Wow, I'm going to give birth at 100? My wife's going to give birth at 90? That's incredible! It's not what the phrase means. But they're interpreting it because they already committed themselves to accepting Onkelos. And not one parshan is going to say, I'm going to disagree with Onkelos here. And interpret little. Yet by Sarah, it is universal. Everybody, in fact, how do I know it's universal? Why can't you interpret Sarah that she was happy? Why can't you? By Sarah, look at Perek Yitches for a second. I want you to tell me what forced people there. I can tell you in a second what forced somebody here. I can tell you that. No, right. But prove, how do I know? How do I know that it is impossible to interpret Pasuk Yud Bet? Vatitzchak Sarah b'kirbah leimor. Why couldn't she say the same thing? She was happy, and she said to himself.
Because then they refer.
Okay, but why? How do I know that?
They refer to her. They refer to her laughing in the next pasuk.
Ah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lama Zatzach HaKasara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't come to Avram and say, why was Sarah happy? That's ridiculous. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu pipes up after Vatitzchak Sarah Vikirba Leimor, which we don't know what it means. It could be she was delighted, just like Avram. But Unkelus can't interpret that. Because it says, Lama Zetzach HaKasarah. So Unkelus and everybody else knew darn well that Sarah was indeed laughing because she didn't believe it. So that I have no problem with. The question is, what compelled Unkelus and everybody else to follow that here Avram was not laughing, but he was delighted? What compelled him? Look at the text and tell me, the text gives it away. Yes?
Because I thought it was clear that Yitzchak was going to be arguing for Ishmael. In other words, you could argue that he would be the one that would be more skeptical because he's got Ishmael, so why would he be genuinely happy if he's going to ask him?
That's a good point. I want you to prove it from the text. What?
God doesn't have a problem.
Okay, that's good. God doesn't have a problem. Before that, because in the text of the pasuk, this pasuk.
Because it says, "I saw the yom
ha'ayanim
nerei."
Nope. Vayipol al panav. What did he do when he fell on his face? He thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It is an expression of thanks.
No. Vayipol can be one of two things. An attack. An attack. Moshe attacks. He can't. He's frustrated. Vayipol Panav always is directed to God. That whenever we are dealing with in our Chumash, for our purposes, it's directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe does that at the Korach rebellion. Aaron and Moshe, it says, Vayiplu al Panehem. Because they turn to the Rabbi Shalom and say, I had enough of these guys. I can't take it anymore. Or what does Vayipol al Panav usually mean? What does it normally mean? I'm prostrating myself to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he just did for me. That we find all over Tanakh. David HaMelech says that 50,000 times. That's why we're praying to God or we're thanking God. That's why we have Nifilat Apayim. In the Beit HaMikdash, when you come into the Beit HaMikdash, you have to prostrate yourself on the floor. We recreate that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, particularly Yom Kippur, during the Avodah, we prostrate as it's way in the Mikdash. You always did, not just like this. So why, if he's doubting it, if he's laughing at it, why is he going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu while he's laughing? It's ridiculous. And I thank you. Thank you for giving me ridiculous information. Makes no sense whatsoever. So since the supposition is that Vayipol al Panav, says Unkelus, there is no other way to interpret the phrase Vayitzchak than he was glad and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I thank you for the wonderful news. Once you are forced to take that position, you now have to reinterpret the end of the pasuk as being ecstatic. Wow, 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old are going to what? To give birth to a child. That is just incredible. We'll see if there is another possibility of reading. We're going to see a couple of other who chime into this, especially the Ramban. We'll continue next Devach, we'll read the Ramban, and then we'll move on. But I want to say, best session in many, best one of the best sessions ever. Ever. I mean it. One of the best sessions ever. As I always say, Rabotai, I always say, I am perfectly capable of talking for an hour with no interruptions. I can give a share, on any topic, just rattle it off. I can do that. but I would be a failure as a teacher. Failure. There are so many great rabbeim who that's all they do is you listen. The students tell me to go to YU Rosh Yeshiva. There's not one comment between the Rebbe and the Talmud. Not one.
A good teacher makes you think.
I know. You have to develop the lesson.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. Sure.